Well,
welcome to GM Ignite. We're going to go into the Word of God. So go ahead and open up your Bibles. If you have a Bible tonight, go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. First time I preached at GM was about 4 years ago. And one of the things that I believe in is not promoting yourself and not going to somebody and saying, hey, can I preach? I never did. I just, one night I was sleeping in the middle of the night, which is what usually people do in the middle of the night, is they sleep. And the Lord woke me up, and I had a burden on my heart for something. I guess you would say in our language that the Lord gave a word to me. He put a message on my heart. And I got really passionate about it, and I kept it to myself. It was a Tuesday night, and the next morning I woke up, and I just kind of kept it to myself, and I had felt that I was supposed to speak it on Thursday night at GM, but I believed in not promoting yourself, so I didn't say anything to anybody, and I kept it to myself. And that afternoon I got a phone call from Pastor Josh, who's now the senior pastor, and he said, hey, you were on my heart, and I was wondering if you had a message. And I said, I do have a message. And it was the first message I spoke, and it was out of John chapter 4. So I'm just reminded of this story in the scripture of the woman at the well. Story of a woman, a Samaritan woman at the well. And so we're going to look at this story and digest it and see how we can apply it to our life. Does that sound good? We believe the Word of God is the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. In other words, it was inspired by God. It was given to men, inspired in their hearts, and they wrote it down on paper. And that this would be the canon of Scripture, which is a bunch of books put together, chosen by godly men to choose what books would go into the Bible. And we believe that this is the Word of God, down to every choice word. In here, God has inspired it for us. And the Bible says that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth or that comes out of the mouth of God. And so we are privileged to be able to have the Word of God, have a Bible in our hands, and we're even more privileged to be able to come to places like this to be able to preach it freely. And we just pray that that ability would last longer in our city, because the Bible says that's what God really wants in 2 Timothy. Is he doesn't want persecution, but he does use it for his glory. So we're thankful that we're able to do that. We're able to come here and a bunch of youth get together and preach and pray and worship. So I'm excited. You excited tonight? Yeah. Well, let's start in verse 1 of John chapter 4. Verse 1, and we're going to go all the way to verse 18. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says this: Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Pharisee was just a sophisticated word for a type of Jew. There were Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees believed in the resurrection from the dead, whereas Sadducees didn't. They didn't believe that there was resurrection from the dead, so there was a split in the Jewish denominations, if you will. You can call them denominations. There was Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees were also very zealous to keep God's word. They were actually originally, their original history, if you study them, were actually very zealous to be godly people. And they kind of started a revival in the Jerusalem culture to be godly people who loved the Lord and kept his commandments. But they got a little bit too far and actually became really too religious and started building their own traditions and started thinking that they were the only stuff. And so it's kind of a sad story, but nonetheless, the Pharisees. Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself did not baptize his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So Jesus leaves Judea, and he's with his disciples, and he goes to Galilee. He's on his way to Galilee. And the verse 4 says, but he needed to go through Samaria. Now, it's interesting that it says this, because in their culture, they would not actually go through Samaria. It would be like us going from Anchorage to Nikiski, that we would go out of our way to go through the water, if you will, to cross, rather than staying on the road and taking the road to go past Hope
and to go past taking the road all the way to Nikiski. It would be like us getting on a boat and driving on a boat and then crawling through the woods, because that's what you do in the woods. You crawl. You don't walk. And we'd crawl through the woods, and then you'd somehow arrive at Nikiski. It was kind of like that. They wouldn't go out of their way. It was actually a longer way to get there, to go through Samaria. The reason why they wouldn't do that, the reason why the Jews wouldn't go through Samaria, is because we find out in verse 9 that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really get along. For a lot of reasons, we don't really need to get into that. So, Jews, Samaritans don't really get along, but Jesus says, I need to go through Samaria to get to Galilee, which was not, that was not the custom in that time. So, verse 5, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, which is about noon, middle of the day. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So Jesus sitting at the well, probably trying to stay cool by the well. It's a hot time of the day, most likely. His disciples are like, dude, we're hungry, peace out. So they leave. Jesus is chilling by the well, and he knows, because he knows all things, that a woman from Samaria is going to come and talk to him. So he's chilling by the well. Disciples go to get some Taco Bell, and he's waiting there trying to be holy because he knows Taco Bell ain't good for you. And everybody said amen. Okay. But if they had moose's tooth, Jesus probably would have went down into the village and got some moose's tooth. I mean, or pad thai. I'm just kidding. That's blasphemy, I think. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. The girl walks up. It's about a half-mile trip from Samaria, from the city of Samaria, out to the well where Jesus was laying. There was about a half-mile walk. And so these women would usually go about, this all is important, they'd usually go either really early in the morning before the sun was too high, or they'd go really late at night or toward the end of the night where the sun was kind of starting to set and the cool of the day would start to set in. Does that make sense? Because you don't want to go on a half-mile trek carrying water when it's really hot outside. So usually they would go early in the morning or late toward the evening. But this woman decides to go in the middle of the day. She goes in the middle of the day to go get some water. Jesus sees her and says, give me a drink. She's probably startled, wondering, why is this Jewish rabbi sitting on the ground with a big beard? And why is he talking to me? Verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. This woman was, first, she was a woman. She was a Samaritan. And she was, we find out, in adultery. And 3 things that were not favored by the Jewish people, especially a Jewish rabbi. For Jesus, who was a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish teacher, This was not ordinary. This was not something that he would do. This is not something that a teacher would do, but we know that Jesus wasn't just an ordinary rabbi. We know that he was the Son of God, and he came to express the love of God. And so this was not one of those things where everybody did. They just talked to Samaritan women. This was actually a big deal. That's why she says, why are you, a Jew, speaking to me, a Samaritan woman? She's confused. This wasn't ordinary.
But we all know that Jesus is extraordinary.
Right.
And we're thankful for that.
Hallelujah.
Because all of us, like the Samaritan woman, don't deserve to talk to or to know Jesus. But because of his mercy, because of his love that compels him so greatly, he has been merciful to us and has talked to us. And more than that, he has given us new life. Go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And then we'll pray and we'll get started. Verse 1, now concerning the things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It's a whole other message. This is the letter written to the church in Corinth, the Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul. He's now addressing an issue that they were having about worshiping idols. And so he comes and he starts talking to them about idols and the food sacrificed to idols and whether or not to eat them and how to be all things to all men and all these kind of things. But he says something in here in verse 6 that we're going to bring our attention to that is a biblical truth that's really going to kind of pinpoint our message tonight. He says in verse 2, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him or is known by God. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. That's a good truth. Verse 5, for even if there are so-called gods, little g, little gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. That scripture in the Amplified Version says it like this. It says, yet for us there is only one God, the Father who is the source of all things, and for whom we have life, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through and by whom are all things, and through and by whom we ourselves exist. Let's pray. God, tonight we are more than grateful, Lord. I'm so thankful and grateful, God, that you would reveal to us your Son. God, we understand that your Son and your kingdom is a spiritual revelation given to us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us before the foundation of the world to reveal to us your goodness and your Son. And God, we thank you, God, that you have given us faith. God, you've given us hope. And God, you've poured out into our hearts love. God, we love you. We thank you. We simply and reasonably respond to you tonight, to thank you, to praise you, to exalt you. And God, I ask that you'd help us to understand your word tonight and to apply it to our lives. And you'd convict us and encourage us to draw closer and closer to you. God, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you that Heritage won tonight. And just bless the East T-Birds. Amen. Okay. My message tonight is called Your Source. Your Source. What is your source? So growing up, you guys know I'm from Willow. I went to Willow Willow Elementary. A lot of stories there at Willow Elementary. Anybody know or familiar with Willow Elementary? Anybody? Yeah. Did you go to Willow?
No.
Okay, you're homeschooled. It's probably better than Willow Elementary. I don't know why I was telling you I went to Willow Elementary other than there's a lot of stories there. But I did grow up in Willow. My parents, we moved out into a cabin, and so it was a small cabin. We had five kids in the family, and there wasn't enough room for all of us. Three of us shared a room, and we just didn't like that. So my parents decided to expand on the house. So we started reconstructing the house. We hired a company to reconstruct and remodel and do a huge addition, like $1 million addition to our house. So this took about a year. We had, I think, two Christmases because we started in a Christmas and the second Christmas. We did two Christmases in a motor home. And I think our second Christmas was on just a wood floor, and it was sad. We had splinters and stuff sitting there opening up presents and things like that. Isn't that horrible? We're opening up Christmas presents and we're complaining. One day, my mom is sitting there with this constructor
the head dude, the president of the business, and they're talking about what they're going to do. Well, at this point, my mom and him and my dad had become close friends. Well, my mom and dad had always been close friends, but the three of them got closer in relationship, and they were talking, and well, this guy chewed tobacco, and he would always carry coffee mugs wherever he would go. And so he wouldn't just be like, I mean, he would like hawking it and then spitting it into his drink, and I mean snorting and spitting, and sometimes he'd be like leaning over looking at something and spill out all over the place, and I'm telling the guy, it was nasty. And my mom wakes up this one morning, and she goes out to go talk to him, and she's tired, and she's under a lot of stress. The house is under reconstruction. She's got five boys who are in chaos and always fighting, and my dad's always at work. She's just trying to keep the house in order and trying to keep it clean. I don't know how you really do that. And so she goes, and she wakes up, and she's wanting a cup of coffee.
Yes!
And I'm sitting in the living room, and I'm kind of probably from here to Quentin Vincent back there in the red shirt. And I'm sitting here, and I think I was playing a game or something with my brothers, and I remember seeing the guy sitting at the table, and he had a coffee here, and he had a spitting cup here, and he's spitting, and he's reading the newspaper, and he's spitting, and my mom gets up, she's tired, her hair's crazy, you know, and she comes out there, and she's just flustered and frustrated, and she's not really looking forward to this whole another day of building. And so she walks over there. She says, "I needed some coffee." And I mean, usually you go get your own cup of coffee. I mean, that's what I do. But she just decided not to. And so she goes, "Well, let me grab his cup of coffee." So she reaches down, grabs it, and she's holding it in her hand. And I'm sitting there thinking, is that the cup? And I'm trying to discern, is that the cup that he was spitting in? Is that? And he's sitting there smiling. And he's just waiting. He's just waiting. And I'm thinking, this guy is really from the devil. I mean, for the first time, I think I saw the devil manifested. And he's sitting there smiling. He's got this big grin on his face. And he looks at me, you know, like this. And I'm thinking, oh, this ain't going to be good. And I get up, and I said, "Mom," and she takes it, and she goes to drink, and she takes, I mean, I'm not talking like a sip, because she was wanting some coffee. Brothers and sisters, she drank it. And she falls to her knees and just starts throwing up. She's crying. She's screaming. She's hitting the table. She's yelling at him. He's laughing. He's hysterically laughing. She looks at me, yelling at me, thinking that it was my plan too. And she actually, that day, actually laid in bed the whole day, just sick to her stomach because she swallowed it. I thought, I mean, you'd think your taste buds would let you know that it's not coffee, but apparently coffee tastes like tobacco these days with chew spit. So has that ever happened to anybody else? Anybody else ever drank? Good. Yeah. We don't want to promote that. But you know that feeling when you wake up and you're looking for a nice cup of coffee? Or for us guys, we're looking for a huge breakfast. Or you go to the refrigerator and you go look for a nice glass of water or of milk, and you want to have milk with pancakes. And this happened with my brother one time. He takes the milk, and him and my younger brother, they're up till 4 in the morning, the night of Christmas. They're up till 4 in the morning playing video games. Like, let's go get some milk and make huge peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? And so they're like, sweet. So he walks up the stairs, and he pours my little brother first, and it all goes in. And then he pours himself some, and he didn't realize that chunks were falling into his cup. And he goes downstairs, and they're sitting there playing video games, and he's eating his peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he's looking forward to the milk to quench his thirst, you know what I mean? And to wash down all that peanut butter that's stuck to your teeth. And so he's looking forward to this cold drink of milk. Well, really, it's supposed to be a slush of milk. And so he does, and he takes a big drink to quench his thirst, but it only gets worse. And he jumps up, runs to the bathroom, throwing up. And my brother doesn't just throw up. I mean, he throws up, and his blood vessels pop out of his face, and he's sick for the next week, man. One time it happened to me, too. I've done similar things like this where I think we just have a curse, but I'm not going to tell any more stories. I think you guys get the idea. Just one more? You don't want one more? But you know that feeling when you try to go get something and it's rotten and it just doesn't satisfy that need that you have? You know, or like when you're playing basketball and you are playing a sport, or you're going to look for some cold water, and you go to take a drink of that cold water, and it happened to be somebody's spitting cup or something. I mean, the story, who spits? I don't know. And who spits in a cup? But people do it. I think there's nothing worse than when you have this need and you're expecting to take that drink or to take that big bite of food to satisfy that need in your heart. And it just kills you. You were expecting something to please you, to appease that need, but it only got worse. And I think we can apply this to our lives. I think as Christians, but really as human beings, a lot of times we go to things and we find them as our source in life to appease a need, a legitimate need. But what we're choosing to appease it with, what we're choosing to satisfy that need with, actually becomes something that makes it worse. And we get addicted to something that doesn't really help us. It only satisfies our need temporarily. And so then we get addicted to it and we continue to go back to this thing to help us and to keep us sane in some way. Now, I don't think that tobacco keeps you sane. I don't think it helps you. But I think in our life, we all have a need. We all have a need. We all have a desire. We all have, people say, a God-shaped hole that only God can fill, right? And what we do simply is we go to fill that need with something. And it doesn't help. It doesn't get better. It actually gets worse. When we look at this story of the woman who is a Samaritan, who goes to the well, and the thing about this well is that this well was not just a well to her. This well was not just a place where she got water. It wasn't just a place that she would go daily to find water, but it became her source of life. It became the place that she did not only go to find water, but the place that she would find relief. You got to understand this girl's situation, been married or been with 5 different men. And the one that she was with at that moment wasn't even her husband. She was an outcast in society, and we can figure that out because she was living a secret life. Nobody knew that she had had this man that she was living with. Nobody knew that. This was her secret. And that's why we find in verse 19 and 20, she says, "You must be a prophet that you would even know that I am with a man that's not my husband." She was living a secret life. And she would go away once a day at the hottest time of the day to get away from life. This was not just a well. It was her source of life. This is where she went to get away. This is where she went to find importance. This is where she went to find relief. This is where she went to appease that need she had. She didn't expect people to be there at noon. There shouldn't have been people there at noon. There shouldn't have been people there at the hottest time of the day. Should have just been her. And she was okay with that. So she would sneak out. Because at early 6 or 7 in the morning, and 4 or 5 in the afternoon, when the sun is rising, when the sun is setting, that's when all the girls would go. That's when all the women would go to get water. And she didn't want to do that. She didn't want to bring herself into that. And so she goes by herself. How many, or really, what sources do we have in our life? I think for most of us, we primarily have probably one source, one thing in our life that we find motivation, that we find passion, that we find a source of happiness. You guys seen the movie Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith? We find the ability to smile. Or maybe we don't want to smile and we have another source because we really want to get angry because we're addicted to being angry. Because when we're angry, something happens in our body that brings about these things that we call, well, really not things, but this thing that we call your adrenaline. And so maybe it's not just happy. Maybe it's you like to get frustrated. And you relieve this need in you. You relieve this thing in you when you get frustrated, when you get happy. So what? Maybe it's happy. Maybe it's when you get motivated. There's something that you go to find peace, to find joy, to find happiness. You hear people say all the time, Gabriel, I just need some more me time. Really? You need more me time? I think that's the last thing you need. More time with me is bad. I don't want any more me time. I get enough me time. I'm always with me. And you know what me brings about? It doesn't bring about life. It doesn't bring about godliness. I, in and of my own self, don't bring about godliness. And I don't, in and of myself, don't bring about anything that even satisfies me. And if I do bring about something, it only satisfies me temporarily. So what things? I kind of put a list down, and these things aren't wrong, necessarily. They're not sin. But when they become your source of life, they become an idol in your life. Maybe it's school. Maybe to you, you can't wait to go to school. This year, you're thinking about when you can't wait to go to school. And some of you are like, if that person is in this room, stand up, come on, smack you. Because I don't think anybody really wants to go to school. But to some, maybe they don't want to be at home because at home, it's an abusive home. It's not a fun home. It's not an easy home. And so if to them, to go to school is to get away from home until it's to find a place of peace and comfort. And so school is nice. I like school because then I don't have to deal with home. It's a source. Maybe you being educated, and when you learn something, it brings something to you, and you find life, and you get motivated. Maybe it's education. Maybe it's sports. This drives our culture, and we talk about sports a lot, but maybe it's sports. Whether it be tennis or football. Football. Maybe it's croquet. Maybe it's baseball. Maybe it's just you doing something competitive that brings you some sort of motivation in life. You can't wait. If you don't get your time in the gym, you feel like you don't have life. That is your source. Maybe it's not a sport. Maybe it's not competition. Maybe it's the TV. Maybe it's, man, I just need a rest this weekend. Hey, what are you doing tonight? Oh, bro, I'm taking the Sabbath. Really? But really what you're doing is you're sitting and watching TV all night and letting hours, countless hours of vanity pass by. Once again, television. I don't want you walking away and telling, youth pastor said I can't watch TV. I'm not saying that. I'm saying television isn't necessarily wrong, but when it becomes your source of life, it becomes your idol. And that's when it becomes wrong. Television. Maybe a TV show. Come on. I know we had some TV show people up in here. The Office. Yeah. He is hilarious. What's his Michael Scott? Yeah. That guy. Man, if you can make it to heaven by comedy, he'd make it, bro. He'd make it. Television. Television. Any other TV shows?
OC. OC.
Fresh Prince. Hey, what's that? What's that Christian one? Seven Heaven or something? Touched by an Angel. What was that one drama one of the? The Orange County or something. They're that.
OC.
Is that OC?
Laguna Beach.
Laguna Beach.
Yes.
One Tree Hill. That's what it was. About 3 years ago, One Tree Hill was so big, so big. Some of you, it became your source. I'm not saying who. I'm just saying. Maybe it's not TV, maybe it's not sports, maybe it's video games. Maybe you can't wait to get home from school because of a video game. That is a source. That is just like this woman who could not wait to get to the well by herself. It was her source of life. Video games. Maybe not just video games, maybe board games. Risk, Catan, Catchphrase, isn't really a board game, Pictionary, maybe board games, video games, come on, I'm being serious tonight, and I want to have fun, but really, I want you to ask your heart tonight, are video games, is TV, are sports, is education or school? Are these places in your life, are these areas, are these sources in your life where you find motivation that puts a kick in your step, a strut, that makes you find life and smile and be happy? What is it that you look forward to in life? Because that is your source. Maybe it's not video games. Maybe it's technology. Man, you can't wait to play with technology. Now, I keep going about technology. I don't know anything about technology. But all I know about technology is that this thing's hooked up to my chest, and right now I'm speaking. It's amplifying my voice. It's a big word, amplify. And I'm really good with my iPhone. That's about it. Technology.
Fectology.
Maybe it's technology for you. You can't wait to look into science and to look into things, and that's just your niche
where you find life. Maybe it's Facebook.
Let this message not be tonight, because I'm not going to preach this message all the time. I'm not going to talk about this all the time. But I'm really wanting you to test your hearts. Because God is a jealous God. And that's my next point. But before I get there, I'm not trying to create legalism. I'm trying to get you to realize that you have a loving, jealous God who is zealous to be with you and for you and Him to meet together and for Him to be your only source in life. I'm not saying Facebook is wrong, but can you, if you have this thing inside of you, can't wait to get home from school because you're going to say that thing about that person and you're going to do something about it and you're going to add that friend that you heard about and oh, I can't wait, I got 32 new relatives, oh, I can't wait to click and add on it and you're on there for 6 hours. What is it that you yearn for? Is it Facebook? Come on, be real in the house tonight.
Yeah.
All right, no truth speakers. You know, there's a scripture that says God is spirit and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth.
I think if there's anything we can do tonight, if this is a worship service, let's be true to who we really are. Facebook. This is fun. How about a fantasy world? I'll tell you a little story about myself growing up. I haven't told anybody this except Reed last week, that I had a fantasy world growing up. Now I'm putting myself out on the limb right now, so y'all better not make fun of me. I'll sick Justin Day on you, right, buddy? I had a fantasy world, and I couldn't wait to get into this fantasy world. Maybe some of us here tonight have a fantasy world. I know somebody else that had a fantasy world. Somebody else who, I know many people who They never told anybody, but they had their own stories and own fantasy that they lived in. They knew three different people that they would talk to. I don't know. I'm trying to cover everything. Some of you are laughing, but it's real. I was there, man. Maybe it's reading. You can't wait. I'm just messing. That's a good book, though, right there. You can't wait to just go read. Guys, I love reading my Bible. There's a difference between reading your Bible and falling in love with the Word of God and just reading for the sake of reading. The difference between even just me reading the Bible for the sake of reading the Bible is not good in and of itself. Think about that. No, I just want some dark, deep truths. Really? Maybe you're reading some novel. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying these things are wrong. I'm not saying these things are wrong. Otherwise, I'd be wrong. I'm saying on these things, for the fourth time, I'd say this many times, I don't get emails and parents calling me, you said my kid can't play. No, I'm just saying, don't let them become your source. Movies. I can't wait. Now, I'm being honest. I can't wait till Iron Man 2 comes out. Iron Man was legit, man. I mean, that movie, it was just, dude, he is the man. I can't wait for it. But really, we do live in a society, and we do live in a culture that yearns and can't wait till Friday night when the new movie comes out. And when I see that new movie, it's the climax of my whole week. I can't wait. And so you get up Monday morning, you're like, there's 4 days and Avatar's gonna be out. Just 4 days. And you go to bed that night, just 3 days. And you can't wait. And Thursday night, you're worshiping God. Oh, Lord, Avatar's tomorrow night, Lord.
Yes.
Hurry it up, worship leader. Come on. I got to go to sleep. I'm serious now. Movies. TV, movies, television. I hope that you're really receiving this tonight. Shopping. Uh-oh. Oh, I'm just going to go to the next one. That's a tough one right there. Okay, don't be pointing fingers tonight. Come on. Read. Shopping. I'm serious. Shopping. Honey, do I like shopping? I do. Okay, suppose I like shopping. Do I really like shopping? Okay, okay. I'm wearing clothing. I think I should wear clothing when I'm speaking. I'm preaching now. Okay, but grocery shopping and stuff. Who likes grocery shopping? Shopping. Shopping isn't wrong. But when shopping becomes a thing you look forward to at the end of the week, you can't wait to get out of school until you go shopping. You can't wait. Shopping. Clothing. Shopping and clothing. You have this, you live in this fantasy world. You just look in your closet. Man. And you wait till a smile just arises. And nobody else does that? Just kidding. Popularity. Maybe popularity. Maybe to you, you're not really happy until everybody knows about you. Maybe you're not satisfied until people have heard your name. Maybe when somebody new walks in and you're at a party or you're hanging out and you're in the youth ministry or you're at church and somebody important and popular walks up and you're not happy unless you're introduced. You're not happy unless somebody acknowledges you. Well, the pastor acknowledged him last week. Why doesn't he acknowledge me? What is your source? What's the thing that you look to? What's the well that you run to find life? Is it popularity? Is it religiosity? You keeping your five commands? You making sure you read your Bible? I love reading my Bible. But is reading your Bible taking place for intimacy with God Himself? Has you and your religious and your structure, I'm mainly talking to people who are religious now, of course, who get so caught up in the things they have to do and the things that they must do so that they can be holy before God. Is that the thing that makes you happy and motivates you? All right, I got my 5 minutes of Bible reading in. Now I'm going to have motivation in life. And now I'm a man of God, or now I'm a woman of God. Now I can really lead this week and really impact my city. Really? Is that what motivates you, is reading your Bible? I love my Bible. And when I do read my Bible, God speaks to me. And He gives me life. And He inspires me. And I do find motivation. But am I doing it because I have to? Or am I doing it because I want to? Am I doing it because I'm trying to become something? Because I have to do it to become holy? Or am I doing it because I'm already holy? And I just want to know Him more intimately?
Motives are so important. Food. I'm going to the next one. I don't know why I put that. That's me right there. Jeez. Who put that on there?
Food. Now we'll kind of go on the... with food, I mean, really though. I mean, we need food, you know? Oh, man. I got myself in a pit. It's like that story of Joseph when he was thrown into a pit. Y'all just threw me into a pit. I threw myself in, I did. I tripped in, man. Food, I don't know. I don't even know how you can use that one. ATV, bicycles, four-wheeling, snow machining, skateboarding, snowboarding, skiing, wakeboarding, anything that has to do with ing. Fish-ing, hunt-ing. I'm covering so many topics tonight, and I just pray that God would convict you personally. The opposite sex. You have to be with somebody to make you happy. Man, if I don't see her tonight, I don't know what I'm going to do. Baby. Just say something. Your voice. Oh, your voice. You're like a poet, and you didn't even know it. You're laughing because you did it. I know you did it. I did it. Opposite sex, man. You're not happy unless you're with the opposite sex. Now, God did say it's not good for man to be alone. And that's good news. But he or she is not our source of life. Those of you who are looking forward to getting married, look forward to getting married for sure. But if you ever think they're going to be the source of your life, you're wrong. Because you will only be let down. I love my wife, and I'm not saying she lets me down. But I am saying that she's a human. And she can never do what God can do for me. And she knows that. And neither can I do what God can do for her. All I can do is love her and attain to love her the way God loves me. Opposite sex. We could say that. We should do a whole series on that. Go on and on about all that. I'm not saying these are sinful. But when they become our source, they become our idol. Verse 4 says that he needed to go through Samaria. God has made it his priority to meet you at your source. Tonight you feel convicted about those things. Because God is meeting you at your source like he met the woman at the well. And he sat there and he waited for her at the well. Because God is jealous for you. And he's zealous to know you. And he's jealous of any other person or any other thing that you would put before him. God is a jealous God. And he doesn't give up. Even if he's hungry, he'll stay and wait at the well until you come so that he can cause you to see his heart to know you. God waits at your well. He sits at your source. He makes it his priority to make sure that you know that he's waiting for you. And you get yourself caught up in those vain, lustful desires, the things that we've listed off, things that take up our life. God sits there and says, what am I? Am I a video game that you'd compare me? Am I a movie that you compare me, the most holy God, the one that sits on the throne and created the heavens and the earth, that by my word I sustain all things? Would you compare me to an opposite sex? I'm a jealous God, and I desire to know you, and I desire to spend time with you, and I desire to transform your heart, and I desire to satisfy your needs. You have a legitimate need. I'm not illegitimizing your need. I'm legitimizing your need. But you cannot satisfy your legitimate need in an illegitimate way. Because you just are left hanging. And you're just left unsatisfied. And you just go to bed at night, like we talked about last week. And you're frustrated. You're not content. But man, when I lay in bed at night, and I look to my Father, I look to my Savior, and I find Him who satisfies my soul. There's nothing that can compare with an intimate relationship with God. He's jealous. He's jealous, and He's waiting at your source. And you can continue to make that source your idol, or you can give up.
Verse 14. Verse 13 and 14, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again.
You'll thirst again. I don't have time to go into that again. You'll thirst again.
None of those things I've listed off.
You could watch all of the TV shows and every movie. You know that feeling when you get done, you watch that movie, and you kind of walk away, you're like, I still just wasn't satisfied.
Yeah.
But man, when you spend 1 minute in God's presence, you find meaning. Because you realize this is where I belong. When you spend a night of fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you love one another, you encourage one another, you edify one another, you pray for one another, you say, this is where I belong. I find meaning here. When you're out in your city, you're out in your workplace, you're out in school, and you're loving somebody, and you're ministering, and you're reaching the lost in our city, you find this is where I belong. This is where I find meaning. You will thirst again. I tell you, you will thirst again. The water that you're drinking, the source that you go to, you will thirst again.
But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. Second Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity, and mercy, and the God who is the source of every comfort, consolation, and encouragement. 2 Corinthians 13:11, the God of love, who is the source of affection, goodwill, love, and benevolence toward men, and the author and the promoter of peace, will be with you. Hebrews 5:9, and his completed experience, making him perfectly equipped, he became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who give heed and obey him. Hebrews 12:2, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. Did you hear this? Looking away from all that will distract.
Looking away from all those things that will distract. And looking to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith,
giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. James 1:17, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father,
who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. These are out of the Amplified and the New Living Translation. Our God, He is our source of life. And He will not leave us hanging. And He will not leave us to be thirsty again. But we will find eternal life in Him. Elena, can you come up, please? What happens is, she says, Jesus, I want that water. How many of us know we want that water? And really, if you believe in Him, you have access to that water. And that water is in you. You just have to stir it up by spending time with Him. She says, I want that water. I don't want to thirst again. I don't want to come back here. I don't want to keep coming back to this well. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm tired of it. It never satisfies. My arms are getting tired. I'm sunburnt from walking out in the heat of the day. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of going to something that doesn't satisfy. He goes, go call your husband. And I'll come and tell him to come here. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right, you don't have a husband. What was Jesus doing? She says, I want you to be my source. He says, well, you have to deal with something first. You have to deal with the reality that you have a need. That you're broken. And that you have a need. A continual need. That haunts you, it chases you, it won't relent, it doesn't give up. And everything you've ever tried doesn't satisfy. He's the only one that satisfies. When you wake up in the morning, a nice cup of orange juice is nice. But 10, 15, 20 minutes in the presence of God, nothing can compare. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that one day in His presence and one day with Him is better than anywhere else? It's a truth, but do we believe it? And have we really established in our hearts, Gabriel, I have a need. This happened to me when I was younger. Or maybe something didn't happen to you when you're younger, and you're just a human being that has a sinful need. You're broken, you're hurting. You have to deal with that reality and choose to make Him your source daily. I'm looking at a new year and I'm looking at what God wants to do in you and what God wants to do through you. I'm thinking about all the plans that He has for you. I'm thinking about you and when you walk into heaven, and I want you to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm thinking about what God has commissioned you to do. And brothers and sisters, these things will not give you the source of life to accomplish it in your life. Starting a new year, and you have visions, and you have plans, and you have goals. In this youth ministry, we have a desire to see our city turned upside down. But God wants to use human beings, and human beings that are filled with His eternal life, and that have a passion. Not a passion that is birthed by man, but a passion that is birthed by spending time in the presence of God. You can do whatever you want. It's your choice. You've been set free to choose to follow Him or to choose not to. To choose to lay down your life and to give up every idol that is in your life and to sacrifice it and to say no at times. So you could spend time with Him. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had everything he could possibly have ever hoped for. He had every religious accomplishment and every religious standard. He met it. He did it. And he says, all that I count as loss. I count all that as rubbish, as trash. That I may know Christ. that I may know Christ, that I may know Christ. We must count everything else and every pursuit in life as but trash. I'm not saying that you should hate these things. I'm saying, what is your source tonight? And when you look at a new year, I'm asking you, what is your hope? Put your hope in God, and we talked about that last week. And secondly, what is your source? Let your source be God. How do I do that, Gabriel? What does that look like? It looks like you realizing you have a need and you making a priority, because He made the first priority to be at your well. You make a priority to spend time with Him and to make sure that nothing else is your source. That you can't wait to worship and praise. You can't wait to meditate on the Word of God to know Him more intimately. You can't wait to spend time with the brethren to encourage and to edify them, to bless them with grace on your lips. You can't wait, because that's your motivation. Now the love of God is your motivation. The life of God becomes your motivation. It puts a kick in my step. It makes me stand up tall. It makes me confident. It makes me run at the enemy lines, knowing that I'm going to prevail because my God is with me. Who is your source?
I don't mean to I do mean to be harsh and intense.
I mean to be serious. We would get the reality that our God is jealous.
Would you bow your heads with me, please?